are with us this morning. It just was an awesome message, and it ministered to me, and I know that he's heard from God, and I know he's going to minister to us tonight. So would you preach with the preacher, because it makes all the difference.
Everybody say, praise the Lord. Thank you. Look at someone and say, it's the greatest thing in all the world is to be a part of an apostolic church. That's right. Oh, yes. That's right. You don't want to be a part of a funeral home service, do you? Huh? You want to be a part of the apostolic service. Praise God. I give you honor for your great worship. You do have a great reverence to the presence of the Lord. And so many times people are just so disrespectful to the presence of the Lord. Amen. I have learned over my years of having to go with people to court how a judge wants people to behave in a court. And there's somebody greater than judges here tonight, greater than John the Baptist here, which is God, who is without beginning and without ending, this eternal God, the great I am, the unbeginning one. Praise God, who is spirit, who is power, who is life. And that God has graced us with his presence tonight. And God is what he is, the same everywhere. Sometime we leave a church that's great and said God was really there. No, God is really there every time. Amen. There's not just some portions of God. You don't have a piece of God here and there. God does not come in portion in pieces. Amen. Praise God. You have the fullness of God and his presence. If God's a healer on Monday, he's a healer on Sunday. Amen. If he can heal on Sunday, he can heal on Thursday. Right. He's not a healer some days. He's a healer at all times because he is the great I am. I am. Everybody say, I am.
I am.
This is our God. So I give you honor tonight for your great worship and the leadership of your pastor and his wife, how they try so hard to lead you to the level in God where you can ultimately be saved. What good would it do to come to church if we didn't want to ultimately be saved? Why would we bother to come for? Amen. We could go out tonight and play golf or go party somewhere. I don't want to do that. I want to be saved. And I can't be saved outside of the house of God. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Sometimes people have a problem with this house of God conceptualization. They say this, and I had a lady, I may have told you this story, I cannot remember, but I had a young lady come by the office one day, and she had a child with her, and my secretary came in and said, Brother Davis, there's a young lady here with a child, needs to talk to you. I said, you know, I don't like to talk to people outside of the church. I don't give counsel outside of the church. She said you'd want to talk to this girl. She's very broken, very lonely, very mixed up in her life, got a child, a sweet little old kid, a little blonde-headed boy, sweet kid, I guess. And so they came in, sat down, and I started talking to her. She said, I've been living with a man here in this city. I came from St. Petersburg, Florida. And this man has abused me. I said, where do you go to church? She said, I don't go to church. I said, why don't you go to church? She said, well, you don't have to go to church to have church. I said, sure you do. She said, no, that's not so. I said, yes, it is. She said, no. I said, yes, it is. In my office, I am boss. I said, yes, you do. She said, no, you can have church on a creek bank. I said, no, ma'am, you don't believe that. She said, yes, I do. I said, no, ma'am, you do not believe that. If you believe that, today you would have come to a church, you'd have went to the creek bank for help. You come to me for help. You need money to get a ticket to get down to St. Petersburg. If you thought you could have church, no, you come to a place that looked like a church, that had the behavior of a church, that had cars out here with a church name on it. So if you actually thought that the creek bank, you could have church in the creek bank, you'd have went down here to the Oak Muggy River and got it. So you knew it wasn't there. It's not there on the river. It's here in the house of God. Amen. I had a couple visit our church one Sunday morning, and I said, we'd love to have you come back tonight. She said, we can't come tonight. Tonight is family night. I said, well, that's our family night too. She said, we're going to go here and do this. I said, we're going to come here. Our families come to church on Sunday night because that's family night. Amen. You don't have to try to get away from church to have family night. Right. Amen. Amen. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the creek. Huh? I caught y'all. Y'all wanted to hurry up and get amen out, but it didn't work for you tonight, did it? Huh? David said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the fair tonight. That's not what David said. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of God. Amen. That's where we are. That's where the gladness comes. That's where the joy comes. Amen. Praise God. And I need to take a minute before I forget. It's hounding on my mind right now. If I'm not careful, I will forget. I do that sometimes. I want my wife to stand and testify, if she can stand. And she'll have to talk loud for you. All right, this young man's on the ball. Way to go, man. Somebody's raising him, right? Great.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Aren't you glad to be in God's house? I'm so glad for God's presence. It's just beautiful today and tonight, the presence of the Lord. I'm so glad that we're with them. Sister Schumacher, they are the most precious people. I love them and their family. We got to be with them today, and it was beautiful. It was wonderful to be with their family, to know that God is helping their daughter. I'm so thankful for that. We pray for you and that endures it.
Amen.
I love the Lord tonight. I was thinking about the song that when I was 5 years old, we moved to Michigan. And it was a bad time in our life because my dad had just come out of the Navy and he was an alcoholic. And my mom was not going to take him back. But the Lord moved on us to go to Michigan, where he had a lot of his relatives who were in the church, in the truth. And we heard it day and night because one of his uncles lived over us. And so they were baptized in Jesus' name. And I remember that first Sunday going, they had about 125 children in children's church. And I remember my Aunt Elsie. She was the leader of that group. I remember her walking. She was just going all across that little platform. And she was singing a song that I thought was the most gorgeous thing to my little mind. Wonderful Jesus, bright morning star. That's why I wrote it down. Lily of the valley, that's who you are. So glad I know you. Oh, yes, I do. Wonderful Jesus, thou art so true. That just touched my little heart so much. And I'm so thankful that we were in a church that taught truth and that I was able to feel God so much. I was thinking about that song that they sang tonight, too, God of Another Chance. Even though I've never smoked, I've never gone to bars, I've never shot dope in my arms, I've never done any of that, never run around on my husband, I'm thankful that I know who Jesus is because I was born.
Praise God. Praise God.
I love them and we love them and we're just glad to be here.
I'll let him get back. He can get up down them steps easier than I can. Praise God. You get a certain age, you know, when you kneel down to pick up something, you always ask, anybody need anything else while I'm down here? Huh? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right. I have been blessed, and I had a great lunch today with Brother and Sister Schumacher and his daughter and son-in-law and the grandson. Is this correct? Sometimes I don't hear everything that's said. Sometimes I ignore things that's said. I have years ago when I was 32 years old, I had a bad case of mumps. It gave me a hearing problem on my left side. It destroyed the nerve from my ear to the brain. Some people thought it destroyed my brain. It was just the nerve. But for a while, I got used to hearing people talk. And sometimes I didn't respond because I didn't want to. My wife said, well, you're probably on his bad side, which they wasn't. I just didn't want to respond. And then I had someone said, you know, God can heal that ear. I said, well, I don't need to hear half of what I hear anyway. It's so funny about people. I had a lady call me one day. I know I'm just talking up a storm about nonsense right now. I had a lady call me one day at the church. I answered the phone. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I need to talk to you. I said, no, you don't need to talk to me. You need to listen to me. Up to now, you've always talked to me, but you never listened to anything. You don't grow spiritual by talking to me. He that heareth the word of the Lord. We got to be hearers of the word of God so we can go out and do. You can't do what you haven't heard. When the Bible said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. You can't work out what you have not worked in. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do. So when we go to church, God's working in his word, his spirit in us. So when we walk out, we can work out his salvation. You can't work it out if it's never been worked in. Everybody say, that was a great thought, Reverend. I thought you thought so. Okay. All right. This will be the ninth time I preached since last Sunday, so I am wearing down fast. And not only that, I'm running out of clothes. I hate to wear a sport coat on a Sunday night here. Your pastor always just, I asked him the other day, I asked his wife, rather. I said, when he gets up every morning, does he always look that way? You just take him in the bathroom and shake him out and hang him up and let him air out. Okay, but I'm about out of clothes. So that's why I'm kind of dressed down a little bit tonight. If this is against your religion, you pray for us people. You pray for us weak ones. Okay? All right, I need somebody that will, I hate to ask you to stand, but I need you to stand with me one more time. And if you have your Bible, we'll go back to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. And my wife said she was not a bad sinner. She didn't smoke. I did as a child one time, snuck around and smoked. When my mother caught me, I realized then I had made a mistake. My mother would go to prison today for what she did to me that time. What happened? Did she just get it? All right, Sister Schumacher, did you know I preached this morning? I want you to get it by Wednesday. Okay. Amen. And she's not a blonde. I know. You beautiful blondes out here, don't be offended at me. I'm just picking. I'm relaxed right now. So when I do all this stuff, I'm very relaxed. Sometimes I say mean, hard, harsh stuff. And so when I have this kind of mood, you want to magnify it. Amen. Amen. That's right. Okay, you're saying something too? You don't need to be around her. You're getting too bold. I told Sister Schumacher yesterday when we loaded up to come home, she said something. I said, you're getting too cocky lately. So I'm gone next week, and Brother Schumacher will have it all by himself. He'll have to work on this. Everybody say, praise God. Can I talk to you just a little bit? I wish I could sell you on the idea of how wonderful it is to be a part of an apostolic church. Maybe you already are. That's good. I know some people, sometimes God saved them. They've been mad ever since they got saved. They never laugh. They never smile. They never greet you. They never feel good about it. What are you hanging around for? What's the deal? We're not going to die. This church has been here, God's church has been here for 2,000 years. If they was going to kill us, they'd have already done it. They've tried, and the fire couldn't destroy us. It can't. They put us in lion's dens, and we just walk out of that. You can't get rid of us. We are here till God says we're through. And when we walk out, God's going to reach back and flip out the lights, and you're going to see what darkness really is. You think your country's in a mess right now. The Bible says every nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. You don't want to be here when we totally forget God. We're the only ones who remember God when we walk out. Romans 1:21, a unique verse, says this about their foolish heart was darkened. Let me show you a double whammy here. A foolish heart, the Greek word there is a stupid, indifferent heart, is what it means in Greek. You say, you shouldn't say that. Well, I didn't write that. That was divinely inspired. And I'm bold enough. I've never been bold enough to tell God he shouldn't have said that. The foolish heart was darkened. There's nothing any worse than having someone with a heart that's so foolish, doesn't think straight, doesn't believe straight, and have a light turned off. The foolish heart was darkened. That's what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Their foolish heart was darkened. When light walked into their midst, they did not know what to do. They tried to molest the angels. If you've got a foolish heart, wise up in the Word of God, and you don't want the foolish heart to be darkened. I know I'm just covering a lot of stuff here, so just please receive it if you can. If you can't, whatever. In the book of is everybody saying something tonight? Have we heard from this section yet? How about this section? I like to talk to this section. This is the money section. This is where all the money is right here. Amen. How many knows this section got all the money? See there? How many thinks this section ought to really pour it out tonight, money? See that? See there? That's democracy at work. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 3 and verse 20, that's in the New Testament on page 1252. And if you don't know where the New Testament is, after service we will pray with you and help you. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. Unto him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Praise God. Let's all pray together out loud. Raise your voice and let me hear you. Let's pray. Jesus, I'm asking you right now to touch us. Touch your word and let everyone here tonight receive something from your word. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Bless your word tonight, God. Help me to speak. Let my mind work tonight, God. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody shout amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Daniel 11:32 said this, that the people that know their God shall be strong. A Hebrew word there, shall be strong, means this. They shall attach themselves, fasten themselves. The people that do know their God will fasten themselves to God's power to do what, and they will do exploits. There's no interpretation for the word exploits in the Hebrew there. It simply means this: people that do know their God is going to want to attach themselves to that so they can do exploits. You see, God is a savior. He saves people no matter how bad they are, no matter how great their sin is, no matter how much in shackles they are. That's not a threat to God. God is not bothered by this. And God's power is unlimited. And so when you really want to believe this and believe God is a healer, heart attack, heart disease, leukemia, cancers are not things that God is afraid of. Colossians 1:17 said he was before all things, and by him all things consist. If there was anything that could hurt God, it would have already hurt God. If there was anything that would have threatened God, it would already have threatened God. There's nothing greater than our God. He was before all things. He was before the devil. He was before demons. He was before drugs, alcohol, pornography. He was before all of that. So when you bring your problems and your need and your circumstances to God, you don't really have to worry about that. God can handle your situation and my situation. The biggest thing we have to deal with in our world we live in today, Jesus said, when I come again, will I find faith? The biggest problem you and I got today is the constant assault on faith. Not simple believism, but true faith, where you embrace God's word and act upon it. That's what faith is when you do this. Now, the devil's business is to dismantle your faith. That's why when you're believing for a miracle or a job situation, marital difficulties, children, teenagers, whatever you're working for, the devil's business is not to hinder the power of God. His business is to dismantle your faith. As long as you believe God, you're going to activate the power of God. God's power is activated by your faith. When you believe, his power is unshackled and released in your presence to do something. And the devil knows this. That's why Jesus said this to the Apostle Peter. That last night before our Lord was betrayed and crucified, the Bible said this, Satan was moving about that night. The Bible said Satan entered into the heart of Judas, implying the devil was actually on the prowl that night. Sometimes the devil gets in the prowl in a service, and he'll just walk around and make a prowl about things, and he finds somebody that he can come into and cause disruption. So he found Judas. Now Jesus said this to Peter. Notice this. There's a crowd there, just a handful of men, 12, a dozen, and he saw that the devil was on the prowl. And Jesus said to Peter, Satan hath desired to have you. He said, I've watched Satan move around tonight. He was walking around tonight and he stopped by you. Satan has desired to have you, to sift you as wheat. You know what that means. That means take someone and throw them in the air and let the currents up there take them away. This is what the devil wants to do to a church. Invade them and throw you up into the world you live in where things can blow you every which way. But Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Amen. And what he was really saying was, if your faith will, all the things Jesus could have said, I'm praying that you keep a song. I'm praying that you memorize a poem. I'm praying that you get to Hallmark to get a card. No, I'm praying that your faith will not fail. Because if your faith will not fail, my power does not fail. Everybody clap your hands and say amen. Our default is never in the power of God. Our default is always in our faith. It's always the faith issue. If we fail, we're going to fail in our faith. You will never fail in the power of God. I've been around long enough. I've had people try to tell me, said, if our churches had more power, your church has got enough power to raise the dead. Your church has got enough power to set every alcoholic free. You've got enough power in your church. The issue is, do we have enough faith to let that power loose to where it can do the job that it wants to do? Clap your hands with me right now. It's a faith issue. Paul said, don't cast away your confidence in God, which has great recompense of reward. And this sometimes is where the issue is that sometimes we're hit so hard, broadsided, and I don't fault anybody for it because I've had my faith put on the line a lot of times. And I know sometimes the devil can broadside you, knock the wind out of you. But what I have, God revealed this to me several years ago. This is an old message I preached. This morning's and tonight were old messages I preached as much as 20 years ago. God gave me. There's sometimes God speaks to me about things and tells me things, and this was one of those. He said it's not a power issue, it's a faith issue. It's not how much power you got, it's how much faith you got. I was in a Bible discussion many years ago. I used to do a little debating, and they told me, they come up to me in the night of debating, Mr. Davis, if you have what the apostles had, you can raise the dead. Why don't we take you out to the cemetery and you raise the dead? All right. One night they brought me poison to drink. I said, no, I won't drink your poison. I picked the jar up of poison, walked back over and put it on their desk. I said, you drink it, because the Bible never says if you got the Holy Ghost, you can drink poison. It says if you believe. That's what it says, if you believe. I said, so I'll ask you right now, do you believe? If you believe, you can drink it, and I'll pray for you. You drink it, and I'll pray for you. Boy, did they get upset about that. I mean, there was a problem in that debate. And it's on YouTube. I didn't realize that. Someone said they saw it the other day. He said, Brother Davis, you used to get a little tough. When you got someone preaching a doctrine that enshackles over 3 million people with false doctrine and telling them your sins cannot be remitted through the blood of Jesus, that you cannot be healed, that there's no such thing as miracles. We had this morning tongues and interpretation. They said that's of the devil and that's not real and that's not right. They're suing that. And so I stood up and said, you're wrong and I need to tell people what is right because you're confusing them with error. And so I told them, I said, this is not based on what I've got. It's based on what the scripture says. Mark 16:15, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. It's not by your power, it's by God's power. We have to understand whatever happens is not by our power. There is no scripture that ever says the power in you is your power. It's not your power, it's always God's power. In the closing of your prayer, thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. When you get the Holy Ghost, it's God in you working. It's never your power to use indiscriminately as you want to. And so when something doesn't happen, you cannot falsely accuse yourself. You cannot find fault with God. The power that is God releases to us in the salvation process is God in us. Ephesians 3:20, for unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you may think or ask, according to the miraculous working power that is in us. The power is in us, but it's not our power. It's God's power. When you receive the Holy Ghost, God does not relinquish it to you. It's no longer mine. It's always God's. His word is always his word. David said, not my word, thy word have I hid in my heart. We got to understand God does not release his power or his word to people to use indiscriminately with their own doctrine and their own behavior. That's not what it is. But the error that we sometimes face in our defeats, in sickness, and in problems, in revival, in Bible studies, moves of God, we often fail because our faith collapses on us. Right in the midst of a situation, the faith collapses. And I have had that happen, and it's a terrible feeling, but the Bible talks about three kinds of people. There are those who believe, there are those who believe not, and there are those who believe a lie. We are those who believe. I believe in one God, Jesus' name. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of talking in tongues. I believe God is a healer. He don't have to heal everybody for me to believe that. God's not a healer because I'm well. There's some, I've had preachers tell me they was always trying to pray with people that's sick and they never got anywhere because they said, I'm sick, I got some problems. God's not a healer because you got a well body. God's a healer because this book says he's a healer. You ain't got to stand up and say, my body is perfect, therefore God's a healer. No, God's a healer. No matter how sick you are, he is the healer. Everybody clap your hands and shout yes to the Lord. Those who believe, that's us. And those who believe not, there's some people that does not believe the word of God. I've had people challenge me, said, you believe everything in that? I said, I believe his word. I'm very comfortable with it. There's nothing in this book that scares me or makes me run. You can open this Bible and start preaching anywhere you want to. You're not going to get me nervous. There's nothing in here that makes me afraid. I love this book. Everybody say praise God. If you control my monitor, could you give me just a shade of volume for me run up here? It will help me. I appreciate that so much. You do that and I will not tell what I know about you to nobody. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Somebody said amen real loud. They didn't want me to tell. All right. There are those who believe and those who believe not and those who believe a lie. Believing a lie is no good. You want to believe thus says the word of God. Are we connecting right now? Am I doing any good with you up to now? What does it mean to believe? Well, first of all, when you believe, you disembrace fear. As long as you're hugged up to fear, you cannot release your faith. But it's when you release your faith, when you no longer fear, that God has failed. God cannot do this. When I pray for sick people, I put my hand on their head. I was teaching a minister's meeting one time. I know I'm rambling all over the place. Is that all right with you? And I said, when you lay your hands on someone's head, something happens. A young man stood up and said, I prayed for people and nothing happened. I said, no, that's not true. Here's what happens. The moment I put my hand on someone's head, I bring it from God to me to them. It's what they do right here with it that makes the difference. If they reject it right here, it doesn't matter what I give them. It doesn't matter. But I said, when I lay hands on somebody, I'm giving them faith, and I'm giving the ability and the power of God's being released to touch them and make them well. But sometimes we're afraid that God fails, and sometimes God has not fallen. Sometimes we actually believe that God failed. God did not fail. Someone would not receive. They did not receive the word. It was right there knocking at the door. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, not my hand knocking, if you hear my voice, the knocking, God knocks with his voice and he talks to us with his voice. And so not hearing and not receiving this, then we're afraid sometimes, God's not going to get me out of this difficulty. Jairus told Jesus, come, my daughter's dying. And when Jesus was on his way, several incidents stopped him along the way. And somebody walked up to him and said, trouble not the master anymore. Don't trouble the master. Your daughter is dead. Jesus wants to be troubled. Don't let someone talk you out of believing. Trouble Jesus. Jesus never told you not to trouble him. Don't bring it back to me. He doesn't tell you that. He looked at Jairus, and Jairus was just frustrated, as we all are. And Jesus told him, just believe only. Fear not and believe only. Sometimes just believing is the greatest hurdle you will ever jump. If you can jump doubt and unbelief, you're going to jump in the middle of miracles and blessings and revival and growth and things. If you can just jump, if you can jump the unbelief and the doubt. So when we get rid of this fear and believe, the second thing is this. Second thing is doubt. Jesus come walking on the water, and Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come unto you. Jesus said, come on. When Peter got out of the boat, started walking, the Bible said this. When he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. He watched the waves, and then he started to sink. So when you're doing something in a moment of faith, you don't look at the circumstances, you don't look at the wind, you don't look at the waves. You keep your eye fastened right on Jesus Christ and his word. You keep reading the word of God. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
When you do this, then Peter started to sink, and he said, Lord, save me. Jesus picked him up, and they walked back to the boat. When he got in, Jesus said this to Peter, wherefore didst thou doubt? It's a Greek word, which means it says this, duplicate. You had second thoughts. Your first thought was to step out and walk out of the boat, walk on the water. Then you had second thoughts. Right in the middle of that, you started having second thoughts. The biggest defeat we sometimes have is that rim of second thoughts. I really believe God was going to heal me. Then when the doctor come back and said what he did, I just started having second thoughts. I'm not going to get out of this. I've had people say, I thought I was going to get this thing, and I got to thinking. I realized this is not going to happen for me like I want it to. Second thoughts can set aside. I've seen people leave church with intentions to start paying tithe. Only get home when that check come by the next weekend, they had second thoughts. I've seen people, God told them to give to the church $1,000, $5,000, or $10,000, and they went back and thought it through and had second thoughts about it. You don't have second thoughts about the word of God. There's only one way to be baptized, and that is into the name of Jesus Christ. And that's for the remission of our sins. So sometimes we have second thoughts. The third thing was this. When you say, I believe, that means you disembrace your fear and you disembrace your doubts and you start fasting on to the word of God. And then you also sometimes have to disembrace human reasoning. Sometimes we reason out something. Sometimes if you give Pentecostals enough time after an apostolic service, they will reason themselves right out of a move of God in their lives. If you give people enough time to reason and get in their car and think it, talk it over to everybody and their friends, by the time they get to where they're going to eat, they didn't talk themselves out of the fact that I'm going to get that job next week I've been applying for. This is going to happen to me. Don't do that. You don't need to. The only time you discount human reasoning, let God be true and every man a liar. You don't, when God's word says one thing, human reasoning does not matter. You just discount that. Everybody say amen. You discount the human reasoning. When they come, Martha and Mary told Jesus, if you'd have been here, our brother would not have died. And Jesus said, he's going to live again. They said, we'll know he'll live in the future resurrection. He said, no, I am the resurrection. I'm not the future resurrection. I am the resurrection, and he's going to live today. So this is sometimes that human reasoning. Jesus said, I want you to roll the stone away. When he said that, someone spoke up and said, well, human reasoning will tell you he's been dead 4 days. By now, he stinks. Jesus said, that's got nothing to do with it. Roll the stone away. And Jesus stood up and called Lazarus, and Lazarus come up out of the grave. I don't know where his spirit was. His spirit was in another world. It come right back into the body. When it got back into the body, the heart started pumping, the kidneys, liver, everything started working, and the whole body started reacting to the movement of life. And Lazarus gets up and walks outside, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. When you got life, you don't meet, you know, when you get the Holy Ghost, you got to be loosed. Jesus can fill you with the Holy Ghost, forgive you of your sins, but a church and a pastor is there to loose you and let you walk around and be free of all the dead stuff. If you're not, and he had this napkin on his face, and he made him take it off. Because if you're going to come into an apostolic church, the last thing you need is something from the graveyard over your face. And you need to breathe in life. You need to breathe freshness. You need to breathe glory. You need to be breathing life and joy and peace. Not dead, not the past. Let God loose you and set you free to be what God wants you to be. But unbelief is one of those situations. That's where we don't disembrace reasoning. We think it through. And then sometimes, as a pastor, I've counseled people, and I've had them come back and say, well, I thought about what you said. I said, okay, so what's your answer? I'm picking up that you're not going to go with what I'm saying. Well, no, I talked to somebody else. I said, what'd you waste my time for? If you're going to talk to somebody else, you don't need to talk to me. You think you're right? Most of the time, yes. I don't get paid for being wrong. I'm right. And I've told him. And I told one man something. I said, the course you're on, you're fixing to wreck yourself spiritually. You're going to wreck your life. You're going to wreck your two children. You're going to wreck your whole life. And he decided, well, I know what you're saying. I said, no, that's the sad part. You don't have an idea what I'm saying. You don't have a clue what I'm telling you, because this is not what you wanted to hear. I don't tell you what you want to hear. I tell you what the Holy Ghost says. And this is what happened. So he done what he wanted to do. And his wife and him is divorced. His son has been in prison. His daughter fought cancer. And his wife is married to someone else, living her life out. Everybody's outside of church. All he had to do was sometimes sit back and say, I will listen to what you're trying to say to help me. Sometimes you tell people the same old thing over and over and over. And when they're all said and done, they said, well, things aren't right. Of course it's not right. Someone told you what to do. They told you. And we live in a culture that nobody's going to tell us what to do. We know what we want to do. But you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Your body's not yours. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're not in charge of your body. You're not. It's God's house. In God's house, he makes those determinations. I live in a nice neighborhood. I have a nice home. And I'm in charge of my house, my family and I, my wife and I. We're in charge of it. If we was gone off, we're gone yesterday, we'll be at home Monday. If I get home tomorrow and somebody's been in my house having parties, I'm going to have a fit. If they went in there and used our restrooms and slept in our beds, I'm going to have a major fit about that. I'm going to investigate. I'm going to put somebody in jail. I'm going to do something. You know, your body is not yours, so you cannot do that. You say, I'll go to heaven the way I want to go to heaven. You go to heaven the way, heaven is God's. Heaven is God's place. So you don't have a choice to get into God's heaven any way you want to. We get in by the word of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price, and your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you have to treat it as God's house, and you treat it this way. Holiness is right. Holiness is not something you pray about. It's something you do. Worship is not something you think about, it's something you do. Praise is something we do. It's not what we think about, it's what we do, because this is God's will for our lives. And so sometimes we just get into human reasoning, and in human reasoning we get ourselves out of touch with God, out of touch with reality. The greatest thing in all of the world is to fight for your faith, holding fast to your faith. God made a promise to Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. Then he passed the same promise down to Isaac, I will make you of you a great nation. Then Jacob, he told Jacob, and you're the last of the three, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Unique thing about these three men, every one of them married women that could not have a child. They couldn't have one child, much less the whole nation. But God knows this. This is what I want to say to you. God knows when God makes a promise, he knows the power. He's got the perimeters. He's already looked at everything. I take everything in consideration. When I make a promise to you, I'm not going to have to back away from it. God did not promise Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be a great nation based on their wives' ability to have babies. It wasn't their womb God was leaning on. It was his word and his power. So God's not leaning on your skill to do it. When God says it, it's going to happen. He's got the power to make it happen. If God says it, it's going to happen. His power is ample. God's power is able. Clap your hands and shout yes to the Lord. Sarah decided to think it through, and she said, I know God's going to give us a great nation. She said, I can't even have a child. And so she brought her handmaid into him. And they're still having wars over that situation today. It didn't work out. You can never do that. You see this. When she brought in her son, Ishmael, and then later she had Isaac, God said this. He said, you take Ishmael and release him. Let him go. He said, that which is born of the flesh has got to go. Isaac was born of God's spirit and will, therefore he stays. In your life, what you got to do sometimes is realize, I've got to let some things go. Flesh has got to go. I've got to let go of the flesh. That which is brought into my life by flesh, lust, doubt, unbelief, indifference, dishonesty, hypocrisy, this is all flesh. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. You have to let it go. But that which is born of the spirit is love, peace, and joy, righteousness. You hold fast to that and you hold it tight in your life. This is a matter that you have to deal with. And so Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what they had to understand, when God makes a promise to everybody here, whatever promise God gives this church, you don't have to look around and say, do we have enough people? Do we have enough money? If God gave you a promise, he's already considered everything else. He's already looked ahead. He knows what he can do. God can take barren wombs and make them produce children. God can take empty things and fill them up. God can take an empty world and multiply and fill it up. God can take an empty sea and fill it with fish. Go fish and whales. God has the power to do it. God can take you and command cancer to go. It doesn't matter how many family members you've had has had cancer. That's got nothing to do with it. He knows when he makes a promise, he can cause it to happen. This is one of the great things about our God. Everything stands in God's order. The Bible said he's the Lord of hosts, which means everything stands in his place, in rank, in order to serve him at whatever he says. Whatever God says, it stands to serve him in his place. When God wants something to serve him, it doesn't matter. It will serve him. I prayed for people that had cancer and God touched them, and they asked me, said, do I quit taking the chemo? I said, no, we're going to take it till the doctor says there's nothing there and we'll honor that. You can back up. Right now you keep taking chemo. Well, I thought God healed me. He did. But God can employ whatever he wants to employ to cause his power to be. God can work through chemo. He can work through medication. He can work through anointing with oil. God does not have any restrictions. He is the Lord of hosts. It's all his. Everything is God's. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Everybody clap your hands and shout yes to the Lord. And sometimes where we miss it is in this simple. We sometimes sabotage our own selves and we default in our faith. But you keep building your faith up, listening to the word of God, coming to church Sunday night, Wednesday night, when there's special services, you go. Every time you build your faith, you're going to release God's power in your life. Now, it's not a selectivism. You can't look and say, I don't like this book of the Bible. You don't have that option. Faith is embracing all of God's word. Amen. I don't like this one God thing. Well, that doesn't matter whether you like it or not. God loves you. Let me give you a little piece of information here. Never trade your love for a like. Never do that. Young people, listen to me real good. Don't never trade the love of your parents for someone you run with every day in their car, going to places you shouldn't go. Don't trade that. Well, they like me. Nothing is as important as love in your life. Being loved by your parents is more important than everybody in the school liking you. It does not matter. Never trade your like for love. Don't never do that. And sometimes parents raise kids and they lose out with God. They spend their life sobbing and woken. Where did I fail? You didn't fail. You did the right thing. You gave to them. You brought them to church. You loved them. And they just decided they had some friends out there that liked them, and I'd rather be with them. They want me to smoke this, I'll smoke this with them. They want me to snort this, I'll snort this. They want to shoot me to shoot this in my arm, I'll do that. You know, a married man should never trade a love of a wife for the like of another woman. That's foolish stuff. You don't never trade like for love. That's not smart. If you've got someone that loves you, the devil likes you, but he doesn't love you. The devil will put nothing on the line. God has put everything on the line. His word, his blood, his name, and his life. Because God so loved the world. Everybody clap your hands and shout yes to the Lord. And sometimes we fail to realize it's our collapse of faith. It's this default we have in our faith. He did not say, if you got power, say to this mountain, be plucked up and cast to the sea. He never said, if you got the power to do that. In my Bible discussions, they would come to me sometimes, Mr. Davis, if you have what the apostles had, you could do what the apostles did. I said, now, I've never signed a proposition saying I will do anything. I never told you I have the Holy Ghost. I never told you I was saved. I never told you this. It's not based on me. It's what God's word says. I believe the word of God. I don't care who does it. I believe the word of God. And I've said that, they've challenged me, said, there's nothing magical about the name of Jesus. Mr. Davis, they told me one time, he thinks there's something magical about the name of Jesus. There's nothing magical about the name of Jesus. Magic is the art of deception. There's nothing deceptive about the name of Jesus. When you pray in his name, healing does happen. Sins are remitted. Miracles can happen. It can happen. That's not magic. It's the power in the name of Jesus Christ. Clap your hands together. And so sometimes if we're having struggles with victories in our life over things, sometimes our defeat, our problems, our difficulties are based on the fact our faith is collapsing. What we have to do is renew and refresh our faith. This has to be renewed over and over a weekly basis. Right, what you got last month is not enough. When Samuel was taken to Eli's place, every year Hannah came to him with a new coat. Because she knew last year's coat was not enough. He's growing, so therefore last year's coat will not be enough. And every year she said to her son, Samuel, I've got you a new coat. Son, come here. And she'd give him that new coat. Let me tell you something. Last year's revival is not enough. You got to have one now. Last year's tongue-talking experience is not enough. You got to have it updated all the time. Amen. Last month's prayer meeting is not enough. You got to pray every week. Give us this day. Prayer is a daily thing. Dying is a daily thing. Every day I must die. I have got to work to keep my faith up. Clap your hands and shout yes to the Lord. Salvation, healing, miracles, revival, and blessings. Situations in our life we want, we get them by the fact that we release our faith to God as we pray. When you release your faith, he starts releasing his power. And sometimes people just hold back on their faith. I just can't believe that. It's too great. Like some things just like it's too good to be true. It's too true not to be good. Little boy in the hospital, he's raised in a large family. And when they would drink, you know, everybody shared out of the same glass. And you drink something down, then you pass it to your brother. He'd drink it down, then you pass it to the next one. They'd drink it down. He had to go in the hospital to have his tonsils taken out. And the nurse brought him in a big glass of milk. He looked at it and said, how far down do I drink? She said, what are you talking about? He said, how far down do I drink? She said, the whole thing is your son. He never understood. He was so used to having to share it. When you come to God, you don't have to say how much. God says you can have the whole thing. You can have the miracle, the healing, the blessings in your life. You can have it all. How far down do I drink? It's all yours. Revival and victory is all yours. You got to make up your mind. Praise God. It's all yours. Sometimes we wrestle with something. Sometimes we wrestle with God. I thought God was going to give me this job. I felt like it was going to happen. And then all of a sudden you had second thoughts. All of a sudden you started doubting. Somebody said, you don't meet the qualifications. You know, and we've had people like this. And sometimes it happens. What you have to do is you understand, really, with God. God is looking at you, as I said this morning. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God knows you. He knows everything about you. I always believe this. When God makes his promises to his church, he already knew there was a devil in the world. He already knew there were spirits in the world to assault you. God already knew people would not love the word of God. That's not got nothing to do with you. I know I love the word of God. I had a young man ask me the other day. He works with someone. He said, they told me there's hypocrites in the church. He said, so what do I say to them? I said, the first thing to do is say, you're right, there's hypocrites in the church. There's hypocrites at Kroger too. Walmart's hypocrites too. He said, but the difference is, I said, you tell them this, the difference is there are hypocrites in the church, but I'm not a hypocrite. I live this thing. I had a man tell me one time, you know there's hypocrites in your church? I said, yes, they are, but I'm not one of them. I live this. I believe this. I walk this. I talk this. There is a God. There is a power. I'm not a hypocrite. That doesn't release you from your obligation. If everybody on these pews are hypocrites, you are not now released from your obligation to walk with God and believe the word of the Lord. That doesn't release you of that. I saw someone shouting in the choir, and later I saw him out there and somewhere on the street doing something wrong. You're not released from your worship because somebody played the organ, got drunk. You're not released. And no reflection, I'm not saying anybody told me this. So I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble here, although I've been known to get people in trouble. The fact is this, you are never released from your believing God and operating on that faith you have in God. If you want to collapse in your faith and not believe it because there's hypocrites in the church, it's your miracle going by. It's your job going by. It's your marital victory going by. It's your backslid child's chance to be saved. And you decided to let a hypocrite get above God. I don't let hypocrites get the advance on me. I don't do that. I am what I am by the grace and the mercy of God. I believe in loving God, worshiping God. And in so doing, I release my faith. As I release my faith, God releases his power to me. Praise God. Everybody say amen. 5 years ago, I had a massive heart attack. I was in South Texas in Harlingen preaching. And that night after service, I had a massive heart attack, and it was rough. And I went back to the hotel and went to bed. The next morning, I got up and went out to see a new church they were building. Then I went to Brooks Brothers to shop a little bit. And I didn't know I'd even had a heart attack. I was still feeling bad, so I went back to the conference ministers, and I said, take me to the hospital. They took me to the emergency room, and they run the check on me and said, sir, you had a life-threatening heart attack last night. I said, no, I sure didn't know that. And he said, yeah, you have to have help here. I said, well, I'm ready to fly home. Well, I contended that. He said, you won't live that long. We've got to do surgery right now on you. Now, if you don't think, that'll wake you up. Amen. It will. Funny thing about heart attack and strokes, everybody knows why you had them. I had a lady come up one time in my church and said, reason you had your stroke, it will help you be more sensitive to people. And this person was so insensitive to people. She was so quick to have an opinion. So I blessed her. I said, I'm going to pray right now for God to give you a stroke to work on your situation. Amen. She said, no. I said, don't tell me why I had a stroke. I asked God one day, I said, God, seemed like several people telling me why I had a stroke. Would you like to clue me in why I've had one? Since you're telling everybody else, tell me about it. But I've come to realize through all of that, my faith was challenged. Everything I've ever preached, I believed God touched me. And all of a sudden, God confirmed things. Brother Paul Mooney called me first of all and said, Brother Davis, this is not the end of you and your ministry. This was April 5 years ago. He said, you're going to come through this. It's going to be a great experience for you. On the other side, you'll still be having ministry. Everybody's not going to forget you. It's not over. And I've been still having some invites, nothing like I used to do, but I am. But I thank God for it. And the most unique thing, God trying to confirm his word to me, one of the most unique things happened was the priest that shaved me and prepared me for open heart surgery. They did a triple bypass on me. I remember that day in the ICU that Saturday evening when the doctor, I heard him talking with another doctor behind the curtain, and he said, who ran these numbers yesterday? He said, I did. He turned around, he pulled the curtain back and looked at me, and he said, yesterday these numbers was going so fast, sky high, so fast. They're coming down today so fast I cannot reconcile these numbers. He said, you had a life-threatening heart attack yesterday. You almost left this world. I said, but I've got 5,000 people right now praying for me. He said, tell them to keep doing it. It's working, and things are coming back in order. God began to touch. Praise God. I did have the surgery, but God can employ what he wants to employ to do it. Praise God. And the priest that shaved me and got me ready for the surgery, he said, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a pastor, a minister, I preach. He said, oh, bless you. He was a Catholic priest. He said, bless you, my good brother. Bless you, bless you, bless you. You know, he thought, I don't know if he thought I was a cardinal or what he thought, but his, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. I said, God is blessing me. He said, you're going to come through this. This is not the end of your ministry. And I don't know why God was telling him this. God had already told some about this, and I did take it from God. Somebody said, that guy doesn't know God and the truth, but God spoke through him. You need to quit this little bit of judgmental stuff. If God wants to speak, he'll use a donkey. And he can use a rooster to remind the Apostle Peter, your word ain't worth nothing. And so whoever God wants to talk to me about, I don't elevate them into a place they're not in God. I just elevate the word of God to what it is. And then when I was in the hospital, when I came home, of course there I had plaque got loose, hit my brain, knocked my brain womper-sided, and I had swelling on the brain, a blood clot on the brain. And it was swollen, pressing against the lining, and I was having heavy headaches. When I got home, they put me back in the hospital and said, you got a blood clot there, and we can't operate on it. It's got to do something on its own. Another challenge, and my family and I, we kept praying and believing God would dissolve that, and he did. And I remember a few weeks later, when I was in the hospital on May 21st of that year, was our anniversary, Dr. Merrill walked in there. And when she walked in, I stood up, and she said, you're Reverend Davis? I said, yes, I am. She said, I work with Dr. Hope, and he wanted me to come by and meet y'all. He said, y'all was a very unique, very special kind of family. I said, well, thank you, ma'am. And she said, I just want to tell you this about your stroke. She said, the stroke will not be a part of your future. It's going to be a part of your past. You will know it as your past and not as your future. I said, ma'am, I don't know if you ever thought you was ever used of God. I accept this as God talking through you to me. And she started crying. She walked outside crying as she come back in. And I could tell she was really moved by this. She wasn't used to somebody telling you've been used of God like this. She's used to the medical science world. I'm used to the power of God. Amen. And so it turned out that her words was right. And so God has touched me. This 5 years ago, this last April, where I had this. So God is touch me. I'm back some. Sometimes I have issues, but the bottom line is that my faith and my family's faith is always in God. When you put your faith in God, you release a power that the world knows nothing about. Praise God. Everybody clap together. Rejoice with them that rejoice. That's what the Bible said. Yes. Praise God. And the oddest thing in the world, that night when I went back to the hotel to go to bed, I never even thought about dying. Death never crossed my mind. It crossed my mind more now than it did that night. I didn't know what was happening to me. But anyway, I got up the next day, and in spite of some people, God let me live to aggravate some more people. The fact is, I want you to understand, if you will understand how to fight for your faith, and be strong in your faith. Every time you go to church, come to renew your faith. Come to strengthen your faith. When you've got faith, you're going to release a power that's not known to anything in all the world. Why does the devil hate your faith? Because when you have faith, you release a power that is an affront to the devil. The devil has no power to match what God can do. The devil's power is nowhere near that level of what God can do. When you stand and pray in Jesus' name and release your faith, you are unleashing a power on your life and this world that is a threat to everything that's evil. It makes the devil nervous. The last thing he wants you to do is actually take God's word and believe it. He knows you're going to have revival. You're going to have jobs and healing and blessings. Your kids are going to be saved because he knows this. He does not want this to happen. Let's all stand. Praise God. Let's worship God together right now. Praise God. Everybody here can have as much faith as you want. Sometimes we actually think some churches have more power than another. All the power you will ever need in this church to do anything is right here. Now, when you decide not to believe the word of God, but have selective belief, you're not going to have the power of God. I just don't like this. Well, it really doesn't matter. God doesn't write his book the way we like. He wrote it. His word, David said, his word is forever settled in heaven. And David said, then I'm going to hide it in my heart. Why? If I hide the word of God, the devil does not know where I've got it hid. And you can hide things. I got mine locked down in my heart. Praise God. And I know when I release my faith, the word comes. When the word comes, I have faith. And when I release my faith, then the power flows out of me. Let's sing a song of worship and praise. And if you'd like to gather in with me tonight, this will be my last time with you for a while. And so we can come and pray together and worship together. If you had a need, God can meet your need. Praise God.